welcome to Liverpool Rumours Podcast special, the Jurgen Klopp special, with myself, Benny Border, and Ed O1. Let's get straight into it. How happy are you, Ed?
Oh, delighted, mate. It's just like the best news ever, isn't it? I mean, it's the dream ticket. Not getting rid of Brendan, I mean, getting in Jurgen Klopp.
I think that was a sort of a double bonus, you know, not only getting rid of Brendan, but getting Klopp in as well.
It's the dream, isn't it?
You couldn't have done it any better.
The pair of us have been going on about wanting him for ages.
Well, we never thought it was going to happen. I mean, Ed O2 constantly said, you constantly said, you know, we've not approached him ever. You know, in the previous podcast, we talked about how it is inconceivable that, you know, he hadn't even tried to tap him up. And then, bam, contact on Monday, signed by Thursday.
Yes, so just begs the question, why didn't this happen in the summer?
Maybe he won't come in the summer.
Don't know, they never approached him.
Well, true, but maybe it's a well-thought-out plan by FSG. Let Klopp have a little break. You know, they'd signed Benteke, and apparently there's rumours that Klopp actually wanted to sign Benteke at Dortmund. Maybe they signed the people Klopp wanted and planned it all so perfectly. Well, how do we know? That could have been the perfect strategy.
No. You're dreaming, mate. They didn't want him until all of a sudden they realised they've got to get rid of this clueless buffoon they've got in charge. It's 7,000 tickets unsold, and I know there's something like 7,000 seats empty or something ridiculous like that it was.
At the FC Sion game?
Yeah. So that was it, you're gone.
Fair enough, and they've acted swiftly and precise, and you got to, you know, even the biggest FSG haters have got to say fair play.
Yeah, you've got to applaud them for this one, going and getting Klopp. I mean, everybody wanted Klopp. Everybody. This is the one everyone wanted.
Could have gone anywhere. He had his pick, really.
And the hysteria surrounding it. I mean, what was it, 35,000 people tracking his flight over from Dortmund to Liverpool? And I mean, hearing, you know, beIN Sports devoted a whole day pretty much on beIN Sports 11 to Klopp and Liverpool. You know, hours of programming just about Klopp and Liverpool. So, you know, FSG should... This is the marketing man's dream, isn't it?
Yeah, I was a nightmare at work. I was constantly refreshing. You know, I was refreshing our page and I was refreshing, you know, Sly Sports and BBC and just waiting and waiting and waiting, you know. And then it finally broke, I think it was Thursday. I think that that bloody Gary Cotterill bloke, he spoke to him through his intercom, didn't he? And, I mean, even that's brilliant from Klopp in him, you know, talking through an intercom. I thought that was hilarious, you know. He said he'd be a Liverpool man 24/7 from tomorrow.
Yeah, because he is a proper 24/7 manager, which is what let Brendan Rodgers down so badly, is that he was only a half-time part-time when he could be bothered, and when he didn't get an appointment at the suntan.
Or when he weren't sneaking behind his wife's back, yeah.
Or, yeah, getting his teeth whitened, whatever. You know, we weren't first and foremost in his mind all the time, which is what we should have been. You know, that's what annoyed me about him.
Well, Klopp's...
You know, you've got to do these things properly, and Klopp will do that.
He's already been to one under-18 game, as someone pointed out.
Yeah, and then the bar for a bevy afterwards in the city centre.
That's just, you know, that's just quality. Took his missus out for a pint.
He's a proper, you know what I mean? He's a proper normal person, like. He isn't like Brendan, who thinks he's so much special. But yet to prove anything. He's, you know, he just gets stuck in and just does the job and lives a normal life.
That's it. He is the normal one.
I've got to ask, how many press conferences have you seen with that kind of TV coverage?
You know, it was mental. I mean, I was just getting excited even on Facebook. Liverpool the actual Liverpool page, you know, they put out a little clip of him signing the contract with Ian Eyre, and Ian Eyre's just absolutely beaming, you know, pulling this smile, looking at the camera, and Klopp just looks over to him. He just looks at him and then looks back with a beaming smile. It's like he just cracks me up at every opportunity.
I've got a proper man crush on Klopp, I've got to say. I loved him anyway, and I was desperate for him to come in, but now he has. I love him even more.
What's your favourite moment from his interview, his press conference?
Is this what we're going to be doing every single tweet? It's a bit of a change from what it was like before, weren't it?
It's like, it's so nice seeing a bloke laugh. Do you know what I mean? Just seeing a bloke laugh and enjoy it, you know, that was the big thing for me.
I think the best bit, though, was where he called the British press liars, and they all just thought it was hilarious. He had them right in the palm of his hand. They loved him.
Yeah, off every word they were just, you know, even the little thing about when the German journalist asked him in English, and he makes a little joke, and then, you know, that thing about the British press cracked me up. He says, a lot of people told me about the British media, it's up to you to prove they're liars. And that was quality.
He's got real charisma. That's what I like about him. You know what I mean? He captivates the audience, doesn't he? Like, which is what you need in a modern day manager. Because it's all about, you can't threaten players anymore, or you can't use the stick to motivate them anymore. Because they're multimillionaires. They don't need anything. There's nothing you could give them that they couldn't go and get themselves. You know what I mean? There's no way of motivating them that way. So you've got to use some kind of carrot. And he's got the kind of charisma you just want to... You'd run to a brick wall for him if he asked you to. Let's be honest.
Definitely. I love him.
Yes.
Let's talk about what we expect him to bring then. I've been saying to my friends, I expect him to give sort of like... I reckon we might see an unrecognisable team against Spurs. Or, you know, in the next few weeks. I think I'm probably wrong, but I think whilst there's no pressure on him, he might sort of give everyone a game.
Yeah, that's true. He's got to have a look at them somehow, hasn't he? But I don't know how much, you know, he'll have to go. He's going to have to go to a back four, because that back three is just... I know he doesn't mind the back three, but, well, we just don't have the personnel for it, do we, really? Let's be honest.
He normally plays 4-2-3-1, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he does occasionally use a back. He has occasionally used a back three. But I just can't see him sticking with it, because it just doesn't work for us. We don't have the personnel for it, to be honest.
No.
I just expect a lot more high energy pressing and quick counters. Maybe Milner even completing the pass to one of our players instead of
just on to Milner. Obviously, he's not. You know, we all know he's not a centre mid. It's not ideal. But I think, you know, with this high press sort of thing, he wants the thrump. You know, he says he celebrates when the opposition kick the ball out of play, you know, because of the press. And so you're going to see, I think, Lallana, Milner as wingers could be ideal to him.
I'm not convinced Lallana's ever going to be a winger. I know he can play wide of the three.
Well, that's what I mean. And you look at what he had at Dortmund. He had sort of like Royce and Guttsy, you know. And they're not rapid players, but they work hard and they press. And that's what I'm saying. I don't see, not an out-and-out winger, but someone who can cut in from side. But you're going to get that press on the fullbacks from Milner, Lallana, Ibe, you know, possibly Coutinho if he moves Coutinho out wide, or Firmino. But
that's what we need.
Yeah, and I see, you know, obviously one of the strikers. Do you know who I reckon he'll love? Danny Ings.
Yeah, because he works hard and that, but I'm not sure he's good enough. Still not convinced he's good enough. But I do think he'll, you know, do all right as a villain for now anyway. He gets through the season.
I think he's a good player. He shows that he wants to be there, and he's the only one doing it under Brendan. So I think, like you say, running through a wall. I think Danny Ings would be the first to run through a wall for Klopp.
I think he'd run through a wall just because he'd run through a wall for anyone to get the chance. You know, he came close to his career ending. You've got to remember this. He had to rebuild it. When he was at Southampton, he nearly ended it. You know, his career nearly ended. I think he had a bad injury, if I'm remembering rightly. He had a really bad injury, which is why they ended up releasing him. I'm trying to remember. Didn't he go to Bournemouth, was it? I'm trying to remember now. But yeah, anyway, so he's got, you know, when you hit that kind of thing, you either have to be the type that's going to run through walls, or your career just goes nowhere and you end up dropping out of the league eventually. But he's the type he's shown he's got the attitude where he's going to charge. He just needs to be more confident, more belief in himself. Take the lower number, take the number 9 or whatever. You know what I mean? Take a proper number. Believe in yourself.
Well, don't worry about it. Klopp will give it, you know. Klopp will believe in him.
Well, hopefully he'll give him belief, because I think there's a player there, he's just not top class. He's not Sturridge, for instance. He's never going to reach that level.
No. But,
like I said, he's a decent backup. You know, it's good cover, because you wouldn't worry about him coming in and think, oh God, we're not going to stand a chance of scoring with him up front. But by the same token, he's not going to worry the opposition if he's playing up front. Sturridge will.
What do you reckon?
He frightens the opposition.
Yeah. What do you think will happen to Benteke now?
I think it will depend on his attitude, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I said to my mates. There's no reason he can't change his style. He's 25.
Yeah,
he's still young. He's obviously physically fit. There's no reason he can't change his style. But he will have to change his style, you know.
The only trouble with Benteke is he's never shown a particular desire to run around and work hard for any team he's played at. That's one thing. He's got a tendency to sulk, which could be a problem. And I forgot what I was going to say. Is the other one now? So that I should forget that one. Let's just I forgot what the other one was, because I just remembered something. Ed 07 was saying something about Kyle Lafferty yesterday.
Oh, what did he do?
Because Messi just came on the screen, and he was saying about he's looking forward to facing Messi in the Euros. He said, but he's not sure how Brazil and Argentina got on in the qualifiers.
Did he actually say that?
I don't know. It's just something Ed 07 was on about, and I'm not sure whether it is a real thing or not, because I haven't had a chance to click on the link yet. Because it was like the last thing as I was going to bed, I saw it, and I just came to mind then, because Messi came on the screen.
Do you think Skell's going to get dropped?
It depends on whether he can change his play or not under Klopp. But I think long term, he's going to have to go, isn't he? Let's be honest. Isn't just not the right type of player. I mean, if you look at the players Klopp had, he likes defenders that can play. Skirtle simply can't. He's just not a good ball player, is he?
No.
He's not strong enough. He's not quick enough to make up for it. He's got none of that physical imposing qualities that, like, Subotic had, for instance. I just can't see him. And him and Mignolet are the ones I think have the most to prove. And they've desperately got to prove. They really have got to prove themselves.
Well, why don't you go into, you know, we'll get off individuals, because, you know, that's all time will tell. Let's go into formation tactics. What do you know about Klopp and his style?
Well, I agree with what you were saying earlier about him favouring a 4-2-3-1. He has played a back three, but I don't think we've got the personnel to do it. And his favourite formation is definitely the 4-2-3-1, which we'd really get with the amount of attacking midfielders we've got. We should, you know, that should be the perfect formation for us. And we've got players like Origi and that that can play there as well, even though they're not wingers. So, yeah, I think that'll be what he'll go with. And just concentrate on working the press for now. And the quick counters. I hope for the overtime, his training regime can improve the passing and stuff like that. You know, the quick reactions. And we can look a real force again. My major worry is, will he get the time to prove, you know, if things go wrong, because there's a good chance that it's going to be a struggle for a while to get back on. I just hope the fans stay on side of him. I have a feeling they will. I think they've taken it to their hearts already. I think it's such an exciting appointment that there's not a hope in hell they're going.
That's what I mean. I don't think there's any expectation whatsoever this year. Not from me, anyway.
No, yeah. I think everyone just wants to see what he can do with this team. And that's more what it is, rather than people saying, oh, he's got to get top four. Top four would be a miracle if he could do that after the way we started. But yeah, we'd be happy with that over the moon. But if he doesn't make it, he doesn't make it. I just want to see what he can do. It's the clock. I mean, it's just amazing how much it's changed everything. Because normally, you never see people walking around in a pool shirts around here. But now you see them again, just because Klopp's come.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I want one of those normal one T-shirts.
They ain't made them already, have they?
Yeah, haven't you seen them?
No. Oh, God. They're going to write... That is a good thing for the club, all the media attention, you know, around the world.
It's just you couldn't have picked a better manager if you wanted to get the publicity. He really is gold. Absolute box office dynamite he is. Oh, it's like, you know, when you're putting a film together and you're picking the best crew. Your players, you're putting a team together, you put players like Ronaldo and Messi in, but your manager, there is no bigger name than Jurgen Klopp around. He might not have won the most things, but he's got something about him, you know. He's media gold. Even Jose hasn't got the same kind of exposure as he had.
Well, I think that's because he's all sort of doom and gloom compared to Klopp, which is just a massive ray of crazy sunshine.
Yeah, but, I mean, Mourinho wasn't all doom and gloom when he first came in. He was full of the clever quotes, but his attitude was still, you know, people were still a bit... I think it's because of the way he plays. Chooses to play football. If you watch his teams, they're not nice to watch, are they?
No.
For a few months last season, at the beginning of it, they were decent to watch, but there's that nasty edge, the willingness to just play act at every opportunity, the diving, the rolling, and it's nasty the way he plays. He chooses that, and that is obviously a deliberate way he plays. And that kind of ruins his legacy for me. It makes him a bit less likeable. Because it's a shame, because he's a decent bloke, like, away from football. But he's ruining his legacy with the way he chooses to play. I don't understand he thinks that the important thing is winning, but sometimes there's more important things, isn't there?
And that's what...
There's a way of winning.
Yeah, and Klopp actually said something about that, about, you know, if you lose, so be it, but it's about playing the way you play, you know. If the team's better... I think this was in the actual Liverpool press conference. He said, if the team's better, you bring them down to your level, and on your level, you become unstoppable. You know, so I don't think he minds losing. Obviously, no one likes losing, but he wants sort of the same level, same sort of performance every time. And you know, he believes if he gets that, you know, he wins the majority of his games.
You're going to lose games, but the important thing is to win enough to get the title. It doesn't matter how many that is. Is it at the end of the day? You're not aiming to win every game. You're aiming to win enough to win the title.
Just whilst I see this, Rodgers would be good for Newcastle, isn't...
Who said that?
Hold on, it's one of them clickbait things.
It couldn't be Jason McAtee or Graham Souness or Stevie Nicol, because they were the ones that Rodgers was on about with the conspiracy to oust him.
Oh, no, Brendan Rodgers could make a shock return at Aston Villa. Anything on that?
No idea. I haven't heard anything about that. They've still got Dim Sherwood in charge, but I don't know how much longer he'll last. He's on his way soon.
From Sherwood to Bodgers, it's not great reading for a Villa fan.
You may as well just give up now, if you're a Villa fan. If that is who they bring in.
Hopefully he'll give us £15 million for Joe Allen.
Ah, wouldn't that be lovely?
25 for Skirtle.
Can't see Villa wanting to buy either of them two. Mind. Haven't seen their team. Yeah, it's probably the one team in the Prem they could get in every week.
Well, that's just something I'll just come across there, and it's probably nonsense. Right, so what we've got up next then is Spurs away.
Yeah, which means I can't bloody watch it.
Oh, get away. It's a new era.
I can't, because if we lost, I'd never forgive myself.
You got to watch this one. It's his first game.
I really want to, but I can't. If I do...
You are going to watch it. Don't give me that big...
I'm too superstitious. No. I can't.
Under Brendan, maybe.
I know, and I'm hoping... If we lose, then it doesn't matter, because I'll be able to watch it from then on. But if we keep winning, I just can't watch it if we keep winning. I daren't break it.
Well, you're just going to be silly. The next home game then, that is... We got Europa League that week. It's Rubin Kazan, isn't it? Is it? Or is that the week after?
I have to look at it. I'm not good with the fixtures.
No, it's 22nd, sorry. Oh. That's... So
that's 5 days after, yeah.
Yeah, 22nd. Yeah. I've had a look at getting a box for that, but it's all sold out, so... Me and my friend are talking about getting the old package thing, but that one's sold out, so the next game then is Southampton. And I think it was about the cheapest package thing was about £140. So that's going to be a bit touch and go, but I think it'll be worth it. That'll be his first sort of home league game.
You'll be lucky to get a ticket for that.
Well, I can go and I'll say that they do these meal things. I mean, is that going to be happening quite a bit more now? Because there's a hell of a lot. I'd normally, when I can, get a normal ticket, but... It's all this hospitality stuff now. Is that what the new stand is going to be?
Well, yeah, that's the idea, is to make more money. And you make more money by doing things like that.
Yeah.
The normal tickets don't make much money. And the income from a normal ticket, it's like a plane flight. You're subsidised by boxes and that, really. Because they do make money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not. But it's the package, it's selling all the stuff to the tourists that makes them the real money.
Yeah, I mean, it's about £140 and you get a meal. And then, there was one about, just whilst I'm on this, sorry, it's a bit personal, but whilst I'm on it, they say you meet former players and have a meal. Mm-hmm. What players are they? Do you know?
It's normally people like Phil Neal and that.
What about the ambassadors like Robbie Fowler and Gary Mack? And
it depends on the package you're paying normally. You might get lucky. It's potluck, really. That's why it just says meet no former players.
Yeah, it doesn't list them.
It just depends on who's there. Yeah, they can't guarantee you it's going to be. So, you could say Gary Mack will probably be up there as one of the favourites to be there now because of his change in role.
Fair enough. No, it's just
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
About what, Gary Mack?
Yeah.
I'm in the camp of... I think I posted... No, as something else. I'm in the camp that he's not a daft bloke. he, you know, he knew coming in with the club the way it was and with Brendan how he was that it was never going to last, you know?
Yeah, but he was led to believe that if the worst came to the worst, that him, you know, they were brought in to ease the transition to a new guy if the worst came to the worst anyway.
Yeah, but the fact it only took 4 days to get him in, you know, so, you know, and he's bringing his own blokes. I mean, who would you rather have, you know, the blokes
would have liked him to have kept some of them on just as helping in, even if they're not as assistant manager and first team coach, but just on the coaching staff to work with him. It would have been just to ease him in for a couple of weeks, like, even if nothing else.
Yeah, but do you not think that would be crueler? Thinking he's got a chance here to work with these boys and then taking it away from him.
It depends. He might have turned out to be work brilliantly with them and they want to keep him.
Yeah, true. But no, I disagree with Edo too on this as well because, you know, he's saying how disgusting it is, but he's the one that constantly tells us that about footballers that they're just transient employees of the club. You know?
Yeah, but like I said, promises were made to get Gary Mack in the first place.
Promises were made to James Milner to play centre mid. It doesn't mean it's best for the club.
It's a totally different thing from telling a player he can play central midfield. It's just a position on the pitch. To getting rid of him altogether and basically giving him a fluff job.
Well,
at least it's a huge demotion.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? The same.
I mean, what was his coaching background before Liverpool?
Well, he managed Coventry and Leeds. The only reason he was available is because he had to give up managing. His wife was ill, wasn't she? She got cancer, didn't she?
I don't know.
Isn't that him? I'm going to have to look it up now. I'm sure he was... his wife got ill and he left to look after her or something. I'm going to have to look it up because I can't... I might have that... Okay, so I've got the wrong one. I'm sure that was why he was out of work rather than because.
But I still think, you know, it's part and parcel of the job. Yeah, promises broken, but well, the promises shouldn't have been made. But it happens. It's football. It happens. It's dog eat dog world. It's at the top end of the game. Well, you've brought. What do you want, mate? Do you want Klopp or not? End of
no,
day.
I know that. I understand that. Because he also worked as caretaker manager at Aston Villa when Lee was ill.
But, you know, if Klopp didn't want him, Klopp didn't want him. If Klopp wanted Ian Ayre in a 2-2 in the press conference and Ian Ayre gets in a 2-2, you know, it's what he wants. It's what we had to do. We can't have our cake and eat it. End of day. Well, you can. You look like you have at it, but do you know what I mean?
I'm slim, me, and you know it. That was Coventry left when his wife, I think it was his wife that was ill. He just said so he could devote more time to his family, is all they say. But it was something like his wife was seriously ill and they had to nurse her or something. So he took some time out. He was out for like 4 years.
You know, that's fair enough. And I hope his wife's all right in that now. But, you know, it's not really... You know, you can't use really that 4 years later. Do you know what I mean? Like,
is the reason why he was available isn't necessarily...
So he's just on sabbatical and out of work. Sort of thing. I mean, Sean O'Driscoll's gone as well.
He's a very choosing man, McAllister. He didn't take any job, like. Sean, I feel sorry for him, but he didn't have the same play. He knew he was coming in to work with Brendan Rodgers, so.
Yeah.
Bit harsh, like. Would have been nice to see him get. Because he never really had a chance to imprint his. his work on the team at all. You could see bits of his work, but the actual, you know, he's not choosing the tactics and setting them or anything. So he was really on a hide into nothing, and it's a shame. I just hope it hasn't ruined his reputation as a coach, because he was doing some fantastic work with the England youth side.
I don't think it'll ruin his reputation. I mean, you know, people aren't stupid. They know it must have been, you know, they know we weren't doing any better last season before he joined. You know, and he's had a nice bit of experience, isn't it?
Because this is the thing, the media are looking for anything to blame other than Brendan. It's bizarre. I mean, they're just literally rewriting history to protect him, like he's, you know, completely blameless for any of the shambles that happened.
Like the constant talk that, you know, that he didn't get to sign his own players.
Yeah, I mean, what, Joe Allen? Somebody else won him at the club?
Berini.
You know, it just seems to have forgotten these. Yeah, Berini, it was him that chased him, though he then decided he didn't want him. I mean, this was the thing. It was his own fault. He was bringing in players one minute, and then the next minute he was deciding he didn't want them.
Yeah.
And casting them off.
He sort of had full control at the start. You know, pissed it away, Joe Allen, Berini, Asaidi, whoever else that, you know, Nuri Sahin, that he played out of position. And, you know, so then the committee come in. But, you know, as far as you're aware, he still had final say.
He always had final say.
Yeah. And he
pissed. He was on the committee anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the committee anyway. So when people are complaining about the committee saying it was nothing to do with Brendan, it was a committee signing. Hang on, he was on the committee. He was the head of the committee. So if he's making, you know, if the committee's buying them, that's still Brendan,
you know,
at the end of the day.
That's proved by Jurgen Klopp saying, you know, because they asked him about this transfer committee. They keep going on about it. They asked him in a press conference. He's like, that wasn't a problem for 10 seconds. I have first say and I have last say. And that's probably exactly what it was for Brendan. That's why he thought it was a silly question and he didn't understand what it had all been written about. And,
oh, it was a silly question.
You know, and that just proved that that's exactly what Brendan had. First and last say.
Well, Ben, I just don't understand this constant rewriting of history. Why are they trying to protect him? I don't understand what he's got over them. He's been proven to be a disaster, yet they still seem to be looking to blame everyone but Brendan himself for his own utter ineptitude. It's unreal. I just do not understand what it is about him that's got them all kissing his backside so much when he's clearly absolutely useless.
As you say, he must have something over him, or, you know, probably because they love all his foot-in-mouth press conferences. But anyway, let's get off Brendan, because we're here for
Yeah,
Klopp.
Let's get past that. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the new boy.
Right, we'll sort of finish it up. We've gone on a bit. We'll finish it up with, I don't want to say expectations this year, because as I said, I've not got any expectations for this year. I just want him to settle, enjoy it, you know, and prepare fully for next year. What do you expect next year?
Next year? To be honest, I'm not actually expecting huge things straight away. Not even next season. I'll be happy to just consolidate a place in Champions League. So that might be top three, you know, not top four, basically. Obviously, with the coefficient change, it might have to be in top three next season. I think it's a very good chance that might happen. So, but that's my aim for next season. Give him a couple of years to settle in and find his feet. It's a totally different game from the German game. The closest to in European football, admittedly. But it's still a different game. He's still got to find his feet. And he's not going to do it with unlimited money like, say, Mourinho had when he came in first time around. So that helps a lot to find your feet when you've got a huge budget to spend. He's not got that. So he's got to feel his way into this situation and get used to the league. And that's how, you know, dealing with the the games and the intensity of games, because it is different in every country in particular, but in this country it is very different from any other. We do play football in a different way, with a different kind of intensity. So the football isn't as skillful as the Bundesliga or the Primera Liga in Spain or the Portuguese league even. You know, it's not as technically good as those leagues, but it's all high action, high intensity, non-stop. And he's going to have to get used to that, because before he was the team that was, you know, he was in charge of the team that was providing that high intensity. They were one-offs because they were the one team and initially that were employing that system. He's going to have to face 10, 12 teams playing like that. And it's going to be a shock to the, shock to him, I think. Though I have no doubt he's seen plenty of English football, so he probably doesn't know what to expect. It's still going to be a totally different thing watching to managing. So I'd just be happy if we can get top three, put us in Champions League, and then see how we go from there in the future. Hopefully look to build on it this time, rather than just buy hundreds of players we don't need.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
Right.
Develop the youngsters.
That's the thing. He'll give everyone a game, I think, as I said. Why not, eh?
Yeah, because if we can get the likes of Rossiter playing well and in the first team, then that's a huge boost to the side. We haven't had anybody like that since Gerrard came through. No, him and Carragher made a huge difference to the side when they played, every single time. It does help having youth coming through the academy. It really does make a difference. I know most people don't think it does, but I think it makes a huge difference. You only have to look at the way John Terry, for years, was outstanding for Chelsea, much as I hate him. You can't argue with his record. Sometimes these players, you know, when they identify with a club, they grow to love it. That's fine. You can grow with them like Ashley Williams has done at Swansea, and there's a few others around the league. But the best way to do it is to actually bring them through yourself. Then they've grown up with this affinity for the club, because it does raise their game to a whole different level. It does make them play so much better. And that's what we need. We need some more like that, because we haven't got the money to buy the ready-made every single time. We can buy some. No, we can buy one or two maybe a season. But that's, you know, to compete with the likes of Chelsea and Man City in particular, that's one or two isn't going to do it every year. You might get one-off years where you have a good run and you challenge them and they have a bit of a poor spell and that. But you're not going to beat them every season without developing the youngsters as well to supplement the players you bring in.
Fair enough. Right. Do you have anything else to add?
Oh no, I'm just waiting for your joke.
Benny Baller's joke of the week. Do you want to do a jingle now you've got it down?
Well, you know, I don't want to take the limelight away from you.
Oh no, please be my guest. I think people appreciate it more.
Do you
want to
do the jingle or shall I?
You do the jingle, I like it. It makes me tingly on the inside.
It just makes me giggle every time. That's why you want me to do it, isn't it?
No, not of course. Okay. Go on, do it, kill it.
Here we go, then. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
See, you talk over the top. As I was already then, you see.
I'm not talking.
Benny Baller. Ah, see,
oh, okay.
Every time.
Okay, go.
Right, here we go. Benny Baller's joke. Oh. That's funnier than your jokes anyway.
You're crap. Right, here we go.
I'm about on this. This is my level on FIFA as well. That's a crap.
I love you loads, honey pie, my wife said earlier. And I love you tons, I replied. What? No nickname for me, she asked, disappointed. Sometimes I swear the fat cow's going deaf.
Oh, God.
And I love you tons. Tons is a nickname.
The one you tested. You should have stuck with the one you tested on me earlier.
What? Do you like that one? Okay, I'll do the other one. Right, no, you've got to do the jingle again.
Oh, I'm not doing it again. You've had your jingle.
Fine. The most common the most common surname in China is Chang. Correct me if you think that's Wong.
Maybe you shouldn't have stuck with that one then.
Oh, it's brilliant because it's true.
Because you should be on there.
What do you mean? What are you trying to say? Don't sit on the fence.
We should put together a podcast for bad jokes.
Of course, intuits everyone, but you know, I keep seeing posts for the joke of the week because they love them. You just got no sense of humour. If it was Jürgen Klopp saying these jokes, you'd be like, oh my God, and sat there with a tent in your pants.
He's right. He's funny.
Wow.
He's got what you call charisma, you see.
All right, well, you're funny looking. Right. Let's end it there. Thanks for listening. I'm buzzing for the Tottenham game. Ed ain't going to watch it because he's a big girl's blouse. I'm sure you're all excited for it. Final word to you, Ed, before hold on one sec. What are we going to do for the next podcast? Tottenham review?
Oh, God, I don't know. But instead of the one where I had to do all the talking, was it West Ham?
Yeah.
It'll be this time. It'll be you doing all the talking.
Right. That's all right. The listeners might enjoy it then. We might actually get a few more. Right. Oh, shots fired. Shots fired. Right. Right. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers for listening. Ta-ra. All the best. Now take care. Cheers. Thanks. Bye. Ooh.